Okay, good morning, everybody. It would be habit for this. I got like two responses out of that, so let's try that again. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Maybe three. But we'll take three this morning. Even before we jump into there, we actually started a new series on Sunday night last week. It's called, as you can see it up there, it's called Stewarding Life. And it's just really interesting, the timing on everything, how it worked out, so to speak, on that. Just with a lot of us, the situations of life and stuff that we're in. So just get a little bit of a recap from last week, just to kind of bring everybody up to speed with kind of what this lesson and this whole study was about. So we'll be doing actually lesson number two this morning. And the concept of stewarding life is that, you know, we have one life, we have limited resources, but we have eternal priorities with it. And so the lesson kind of last week was starting to just set the stage and the framework for the whole study. And that whole idea of stewarding life, because really, if you think about it, every single resource that we have comes from God. Whether that's your time, your finances, your health, your relationships, your influence. Often those last three things we don't really think of when we think of being a steward of. But really, every single one of those comes from God. And they're components to be used as tools in our life that He's given to us. And our approach to those resources will determine our success in fulfilling God's purpose for our life. And there was really three ways that people can use them, three ways that people use them in this life. The first one is to squander them. And that really is our world and its system. Live and let live. YOLO. You only live once. But you know what? It's not just that. There's directionless wasters, but there's also using life for less than it's intended to be. That can be even some of the most disciplined and successful people in this life because they're investing it in the wrong places. So squander. You can squander your resources. Spend is the second one, and often that sounds really good, but it has the idea of that side of trying to do the right things, but without ignoring depending on God and the built-in cycles of rest that He has in our life and renewal. Now, God created life to function optimally with natural rhythms of work and rest, and it can be. Sometimes we can tend to really trying to do all that we can do and run yourself into the ground doing it. But then the third approach to that was a better option than spending is stewarding our lives. And that really comes down to recognizing that life itself is a gift from God and purposing to use it for His glory. And it means that you recognize that God provides the resources that you need. He gives and He sustains. No, He provides and He replenishes. No, God has attached to your life a purpose that only you can do, that only you can fill out. Stewarding life, it's not about learning how to tap into your inner resources, your inner reservoirs of creativity and effectively manage it with new systems and quaint ideas. No, it's really about studying God's principles for how He wants us to handle the resources that He's given to us and then applying it and diligently living out His purpose. Because a steward is one who spends by investment. He spends by investment. And that's what we want to do with our lives. So that's kind of like a brief recap of last week and what that is. And then the very next lesson, which is what we want to look at today, which kind of preaching it slash teaching it here, is stewarding our time. And it's really interesting, again, how it just worked out this morning, since we're not having an evening service, with doing this in the morning service, because this, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, whether you're married, whether you have no kids, whether your kids are grown, this is something you can use. You have to, if you want to be successful to what God's called you to do. Doesn't matter what stage of life you're in, this is something we all have to do. So I'm pretty excited this morning to bring this out to you. And you actually have notes. Now, we talk about in school, you're supposed to take notes. It's a good idea in church to take notes too, because it helps you, one, stay awake and remember what's being talked about. So you have pre-made notes this morning. So there's zero excuse not to take notes this morning. And if you did not get one, here is another one on that. Well, no more. Excuse is gone. If you need a pen, they're coming around. And you even have the verses, which I very much encourage you not to just rely on the sheet, but actually have your Bible open and look at some of these verses as we do. But let's go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and read the text verses for this morning. They're in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, again, familiar verses. I'm sure all of you have heard these before, but it is very interesting when you think about it in the context of what we're going to look at this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. It says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time," there it is, "because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you this morning for the opportunity to be able to be in front of your church here this morning and just help me to be able to bring forth your word and just some principles in this as we look at it this morning, is the idea of how we can steward our time. Because it is something that every single person in this room can use and we can all be far better at. And again, thank you for the principles that you've laid out in your word here, and just help us to be able to stay focused and attentive as we go to bring it out. Let's be able to stay awake and just see what you have for us this morning. And pray for those who are not able to be here for various reasons or sickness or other things there, Lord. Just be with them and bring them back together again. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the greatest and most valuable gifts that God has given to you is time. We're each given the same limited amount of time every day. And God is going to teach us, he teaches us his priorities for the stewardship of that time, which is what the focus is this morning. So some kind of principles and purposes or goals, if you want to call them that, for this morning, is we just to keep in mind is, one, that we would just have an awareness of what God's priorities are for our time. Two, we would, this is a very interesting one here, understand the dangers of the many relatively unimportant activities that vie for our time, and desire to spend our time in that which matters for eternity. And then three, which is an interesting one that it would behoove all of us to do, that we would establish a priority list to enable us to properly channel the use of our time in that. So jumping into to the first part here, if life's a gift, then time is the vehicle by which it's delivered to you. Each day we live, we have at our disposal 24 hours, 1,440 minutes, 86,400 seconds to get down to it. And every moment is a precious gift from God. Again, going back to last week, it's interesting how God talked about how God's sovereign in the origin of life, and he's also sovereign in the end of life, and that too. Someone calculated how a typical lifespan of 70 years is spent. This is kind of interesting. Sleep, 23 years, which is like 32.9%. Again, work, 16 years, which is 22.8%. This is a little, this one here shows you a little dated. Television, 8 years, which is 11.4%. Eating, we spend 6 years eating. Traveling, 6 years too. It's a lot of travel. Leisure, 4.5 years. Apparently we also spend 4 years being sick of our life. Dressing, 2 years. Think about that one. And then at the bottom of the list, it has religion at half a year. And that. Obviously, who knows if those are accurate or not, but it kind of at least gives you a mental kind of picture of some things where some of our time goes. Benjamin Franklin said, "Dost thou love life? Then don't squander time, because that's the stuff life's made from." So just as it's with life itself, we have three options for how to use our time. We can waste it or squander it, we can spend it, or we can steward it or invest it. So that brings us to the first point this morning, and that's the priority of time. Now, most people enter each day on a treadmill of endless routines, meaningless routines. Now, each day is a repeat of the last, often, it seems like. They go to bed to catch the rest they need to do it all over again. Everybody ever felt like that before? Routines obviously are beneficial, but only as they contribute to the overall picture of the success, you know? No, our lives should be more than just getting up, going to work, coming home, watching the news, going to bed, repeating the cycle. That might be more applicable to guys, you know? Ladies, getting up 3 times in the night, trying to eat breakfast, keeping your kids alive, trying to get them to nap, maybe getting a nap yourself, trying to make food, going to bed, getting up and trying to do it all over again. But our lives should be more than that. So the priority of time, again, the very first foundational thing is we got to awake to salvation. That's the very first thing. Paul admonished them there to wake up. It's interesting. Think of that verse there, verse 14. "Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Brings back to Ephesians 2, the word dead and trespasses and sins. This passage speaks first of all of those who've never come to the light of Christ. You can be religious but lost, but he challenges them first of all to awake to salvation here. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7, familiar verses. "No, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now, those that are spiritually dead, they first need to arise, awake, come to repentance, come to Christ. And that interesting verse out of Isaiah says, "Arise." Isaiah 60, verse 1 says, "Arise, shine, for the light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." This is an interesting quote here from Henry David Thoreau. "As if you could kill time without injuring eternity." I'm going to think about that one for a minute, but as if you could kill time, and talk about that a lot, no, just killing time. As if you could kill time without injuring eternity. Second, not only is the very first thing to awake to salvation, but then awake to God's priorities. And that's the next thing here. Jesus is the greatest gift that's ever been given in this life. For purposes of our study here, the second greatest gift is time. The way we spend the second greatest gift, by and large, will determine to the extent we're able to share the first greatest gift to the world. Look back over your week, this past week. Have you truly been awake, realizing and using the time God's given you? Are your moments being spent in ways that contribute to fulfilling God's will for your life? Are you investing in eternity by investing in people? Whether that's loving your spouse, spending time training with your kids, witnessing to coworkers, encouraging godly friends, ministering to others. You know, those are some eternal priorities that really need to be woven into the fabric of our everyday. Have you ever, as guys sometimes, when you get a vacation day and get a day off work, and then sometimes when you get the end of it, it's like, man, what did I do all day? Time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. And once you've lost it, you can never get it back. Isn't that ironic? Quote from Harvey McKay. So second, not only is there the priority of time, there's also, you see in this passage, the preservation of time. We see, first of all, that it's a cautious walk. Now, if we're going to accomplish God's will, we need to take heed to Paul's admonition here. Verse 15, see that? It says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, obviously, you think about that, knowing the context of no temptation, and we need to be looking out, be aware of different things. And that word circumspectly, it has the idea of, think of circumference of a circle. The circumference of a circle, circumspectly, walking circumspectly, paying attention, looking around, being aware of your surroundings, what's going on. To be circumspect also has the idea of to be cautious, vigilant, to walk intelligently, to keep the entire area in view. So why do we need to be so alert? God's warned us from the outset we have an enemy who seeks to devour our lives and our time. 1 Peter 5:8, familiar verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Did you catch the first couple words there? Be sober, be vigilant there. Satan will do all he can to destroy your time on earth. If he can't get your soul, and he can't destroy it with sinful living, he will devour you by eating up your time with activities of no eternal value. Either way, the end result's the same, a wasted life. Who all wants to waste their life? Anybody? I don't think so. I don't think anybody would say, I just want to waste my life. But that's why we have to purposely steward our time. We must guard against his tactics and live to accomplish, again, God's purposes in our lives. Now, this statement is very common in our day. We were just hanging out. How many times have you said that? How many times have you heard that? What does that mean, though? It surely doesn't mean we were on guard, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We don't want to be devoured by the adversary, right? Probably means we were kind of just killing and wasting time. Of course, the day in which we live, obviously sin very much abounds, but it always has. But it also means that the opportunities that we have to live for God also abound, as never before. It's not the time to waste our lives with frivolous activities. Now, as one author observed, more time is wasted not in hours, but in minutes. A bucket with a small hole in the bottom gets just as empty as a bucket that gets deliberately kicked over. The slow drain there. Because Satan is actively working to devour our lives and the minutes of which they're comprised, we must purposely use our time for eternity. We must plan to redeem every moment for the glory of God. Every mother who's ever allowed her kid to play near a lake or a creek or a canyon, a rocky ledge, or any other precarious location, looked him no in the eye and said, no, be careful near the edge. No, because you know the importance of good balance. And in such a place, no, one slip of the foot can mean some serious injury. When God warns us to walk circumspectly, he's underscoring the need to walk with balance. We must tread ever so carefully around the precarious areas of our lives. Even good uses of our time have dangerous possibilities if we neglect balance in them. How many people have you seen slip off the edge when they gave all their time to one pursuit? Many husbands have lost their marriages because they spent all their time at the office. And many preachers lost their families because they invested all they had, you know, in their church or their ministry. Many women have lost their health because they gave all of their time ministering to others. Survival requires that we learn to walk with balance. It's not possible to give too much of our lives to the Lord. Let's make that clear, because he deserves it all, right? It's not possible to outgive God. That's not what it's talking about. But it's entirely possible with pure intentions to live an unbalanced life. And that's part of what the point is. Because when we engage all of our time in one pursuit, injury is sure to follow. Think of, ever heard of, you know, was it tennis elbow? And there's Tommy John surgery. Those are sports injuries from repetitive use and not proper rest and recovery from doing the same like motion all the time. So how can we avoid losing our balance and slipping over the edge? We must allocate our time so that we can steward all of our resources. Think about that. There's more resources we have than just time, but we have to allocate our time to steward all of them, which includes our health, our family, our finances, service to the Lord. And unfortunately, balance is more easily preached than practiced. Really easy to say, it's a lot harder to do in our lives. And we often experience a slip over the edge before we realize that we were teetering on the brink. Yeah. Now, God is good to allow us to feel the pain of an unbalanced life sometimes when we lose our equilibrium, but we must be sensitive to him during these times. Not only do we have a cautious walk, which was right there, but then there's also a calculated walk, which is the second point here. God warns us that the evil days we live in show us the value of our time. Catch the verse there. Verse 16, Ephesians 5. It says, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Redeem is from the Greek word exagorazo, which means by payment of a price to recover from the power of another, to ransom, to buy off. No, time is from the Greek word kairos, which means a fixed and definite time, time for when things are brought to crisis, limited period of time, etc., etc. So that verse with the words defined out, we are to, by payment of a price, recover this limited period of time because the days are evil. Our opportunity to redeem it is now. It's not tomorrow. And our opportunities may be limited to do it. Mark 13:33 says, Jesus speaking, says, take heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. That's actually, I looked that up this morning. I believe that's in the context of the Olivet Discourse. He's talking about you don't know when the Lord's coming back, basically. Imagine that your bank calls you to ask you to help them pilot a new program. Here, the plan is both lavish and it's very simple. Each morning, the bank will credit your account with $86,400, which you'll be free to spend or invest as you please. But every night, your account's going to close with a balance of zero. It will carry no balance from day to day, meaning that you must spend or invest the deposit every day, or it will be wasted. If most of us had an opportunity like that, no, we probably managed to find some pretty good uses for that throughout the day, wouldn't you? Truth is, you do have a bank. that credits you in your account each morning. It's called time. And it generously gives you 86,400 seconds every day. But like the bank that was just described, every morning, the non-refundable deposit is canceled at evening. Whatever you don't spend or invest is wasted. And it's gone. You can't get it back. Because failure to use the day's deposit results in an irreplaceable loss. So a wise steward of time will learn to redeem his or her moments from the bank of today and invest them into the bank of eternity. Eternity is interesting here. Eternity knows nothing about the fleeting nature of time because anything deposited there lasts forever. Isn't that interesting? What did Jesus talk about? Lay for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal, etc., etc. So a wise steward of time, again, learns to redeem their moments from today and invest them into eternity. Now that's the heart of Paul's message there, and back in Ephesians 5. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So this passage is helping us, instructing us to develop an eternal value system for our time. Because we redeem today when we invest it into eternity, before it expires. When we invest our time that way, the results last forever. So then third, this morning, we also see the purpose of our time. Now we've seen the priority, we've seen the preservation, and now we're looking at the purpose of our time. Now time, however many years of it that we have, which, speaking of that, you obviously have as far as you have the day, but you don't know when your time is done. It's our opportunity to achieve success in life. But if we don't clearly define what success looks like, we may come to the end of our lives only to realizing that we strove for the wrong goals. Isn't it like, ever been in school and you have this project that you're trying to do, and you work really hard on it, and then you're done, only to realize that you, like, did something wrong, or that you did the wrong thing? Life is the ultimate one like that. So what's the definition, what's your definition of success? Of course, you could think about the worldly success and what you usually think of, you know, wise investments, in your work, accumulating possessions. No, none of those are necessarily wrong, but neither do they really quantify true success. Again, there's plenty of other things that we could answer to, because often we can tend to, and churches know, we think of, well, obviously I'm not going for any of that. But we have our own things that we go for, that we put up there as, this is what I really want. This is what I'm going for. And they might not be wrong. Because after all, no good returns, high positions, possessions, right wishes, but they don't last forever. And if those become the goals in your life, think about this, when your time is gone, so is your success. So when God calls us, tells us to steward our time with wisdom, to redeem the time, he tells us what that means here. Verse 17 says, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Success is knowing and doing the will of God. That's investing our time in what's going to last for eternity. You know, you've heard the stories, you know, people on their deathbeds that expressing regrets over choices that they've made in their life. But you know what? You never hear him saying, I wish I had worked more overtime. Or, I wish I had I'd become the CEO of a company. But you often hear laments of, I wish I spent more time with my kids. I wish I had invested more for the Lord. I wish I had done more for the Lord. Because it's entirely possible to spend your time very diligently and well on the wrong things, on fleeting goals. Some things just don't matter when you approach the bridge between time and eternity. And we could probably make a long laundry list of what those are. Some things that we hold very near and dear to us. So if we don't clearly identify what true success is, you come to the end of your life, realize you live for the wrong goals. And at that point, you'll wish you had invested more into eternity. Now, we've all known people who died in their 80s and their 90s but have been unsuccessful by eternal standards. And there's also no children who've died having accomplished more for eternity than those same older people in their lifetime. So which one was successful? So there's two ways in particular that we can use our time to live by the true definition of success. And the first one is to seek the wisdom of God. Now, thankfully, God provides a resource, freely provides a resource to give us balance as we steward our time. Now, it's true that we can and we should. You can live by lists. Lists are very helpful. We should have a list of our priorities. You have our goals, list of opportunities, ministry opportunities, prayer lists, project lists, to-do lists, you name it. Lists can help us keep our time focused on written priorities and predetermined plans. You may have heard the advice, plan your work and work your plan. But in all of that, there's an ingredient that you have to have to know how to steward our time for eternity. Our lists need to be made through the grid of this resource, or we'll simply be very determinedly spinning your wheels. So what's the must-have for that to-do list? And it's up there, wisdom. When God instructs us to walk circumspectly, as we see in the passage there, remember, in the context of this, with vigilance and balance, he equips us to do it with his wisdom. He even specifically tells us to walk not as fools, but as wise. So walking in wisdom is knowing and doing what matters most. Wisdom teaches us what priorities and activities have eternal significance. And wisdom helps us avoid time wasters. And wisdom helps us avoid, this is an interesting term, you might think it's odd at first, wisdom helps us avoid being driven. The polar opposite of a lackadaisical, time-wasting lifestyle, on this end of the spectrum, is driven living. Have you heard that and talked about in a lot of good ways? No, he's a driven person. You've heard that often talked about very positively. But really, one is not significantly better than the other. So hang on and listen to know what we're kind of defining what it's talking about here. Driven living makes us the center of our well-planned schedules. Makes us the center of it. A driven life may stem from a passion to live with eternal purpose, which is good, right? But we show that we think God's work depends on us with it. Because we neglect to acknowledge that God created us as a finite resource dependent on him for it. Driven people have three common defining characteristics in their lives. Driven people are sometimes busy, catch it, busy doing the wrong things. Activity is not the same as productivity. If you hear that like in work, if you ever had any classes or stuff along there, you hear that a lot. Activity is not the same as productivity. You can have a full schedule of unproductive activities. So second, driven people are caught in the uncontrolled pursuit of expansion. Bigger is not always better. God doesn't measure our work by size, but by our surrender to him, really. And then third with here, driven people are often unconsciously trying to prove something to themselves or others. Now, their motives may be to live for eternity, but they want to be sure that people notice. Driven living is being on a treadmill with no relief and no escape. We talked about that this morning in the beginning, except by wisdom. Only wisdom can teach us to define success not by activity or by expansion or by our self-validation, but by God's will for our lives. Of course, wisdom doesn't come overnight either. Rather, we grow in wisdom as we follow the methods that God has given us to obtain it. So those are your sub-points here. First one is we need to seek it in God's word. Actually, it might not be up on the here, but seek it in God's word is the first one. Proverbs 2:2-6. Again, probably some familiar verses here, but I'll read them quickly. Proverbs 2. It says, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Remember, who's saying this? Solomon, right? If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. It has to be sought. It doesn't come to lazy. Second, we got to ask for it. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to others. Third, we should listen to the counsel of others. Now, God has put people and things in our lives for the purposes of counsel. We do not know everything. Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Another verse says, than a multitude of counselors, their safety. And then four, through trial and error, apply it to our lives. Because sometimes, you know, you learn from your mistakes more from your successes sometimes in life. Proverbs 6:23 says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. There's a author has some interesting things laid out here. I'll mention them quickly. Some truths on which you can base your priorities regarding your time. This is some things I think he personally laid out. First off, what God has given me is sustainable. It isn't God's nature to give us more responsibilities than grace. You know, God's grace, obviously we can't do it all, but he gives us the grace to do what we need to do, what he's called us to do. He doesn't give us more to do than what we can get done in the time that he's provided us to do. Second, an opportunity does not equal an obligation. An opportunity doesn't equal an obligation. More opportunities present themselves to us than we are physically able to accomplish. Only wisdom can help us separate between the good, the better, and the best. If we fail to make that distinction, we'll find ourselves overburdened and under-equipped. What God gives us is sustainable, but what we put on ourselves may be unbearable. And then third in here, it says, I must identify and focus on the most important things. Now, every opportunity looks important at the moment, but living with an eternal perspective can help us sort out what really matters most. Now, often looking beyond time can help distinguish between the trivial and the truly important. What is going to matter when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ? Here. Now, it's been said that great leaders attribute their success not to the things that they said yes to, but to the things that they said no to, the things they chose not to do. Tarrying times are not idle times. And again, this talking about, we like to see immediate results, but there's seasons when you have to wait on the Lord. But it also doesn't mean you don't do anything. It means you do what you know is right in that time. And then it also talks about centering my time on the main thing that God has called me to do. And he gives the example here. Nobody else can fulfill the husband, father needs of my wife and children but me. And he talks about, if I don't do that, then I've failed. I've neglected mother's responsibilities and they're going to suffer for it. Gives also the example of, as a pastor, there's responsibilities that come with that that have to be taken care of. And obviously, God hasn't called every single one of us to be a pastor, but whatever we are to be doing, we should identify it and center our life on it. So when you feel the effects of living without balance, or when we're convicted that we haven't used our time wisely, we should seek God's wisdom for it. Because wherever we go and whatever your responsibilities are, the law of time is non-optional. It's non-optional and non-changing. Time's a limited resource. Because have you ever noticed that when something can become more valuable instantly, when you realize that it's limited? No, limited editions of art sell for more than easily reproducible stuff. Time's no different. So when we realize that it's finite, we can be more careful to use it. Psalm 90:12, so teach us to number our days. We may apply our hearts unto wisdom. This is an interesting, I won't read the whole thing, but as an example here of people who they calculate, no, the lifespan it talks about in the Bible, average 70 years, put a marble in a jar for every single week from where you are, and then every Saturday night they put a marble in the trash, just as a living reminder of the fleeting nature of time. You know, well, that's morbid, you know. But living with a sense of numbered days is not morbid. It's motivating. Should be motivating to us. Because it propels us to make every day count for the glory of God. Because if you think about it, literally, if you knew that you were going to go into eternity tomorrow, would that not change what you did today? But we don't know. So that's why we need to live as if it was in that regard. Of course, then we saw seeking the wisdom of God, but then also seeking the will of God here. Again, that's the opposite of remembering limited nature. It talks about James 4:13, verse there, go to now, ye that say, you know, today or tomorrow we're going to go into such a city and do such a, extend their year, buy and sell. Now, that's the idea of just assuming things are just going to keep going, just continue as they are. That leads us to presumptuous living, living as we please, not seeking God's will, because our days are like a vapor, as he talks about there further on. We should live with an awareness of eternity in our life. Because stewarding our time means we won't assume tomorrow will be like today. And that tomorrow itself may disappear before today ends. Think about that. So investing our time in accomplishing God's will requires that we pause periodically to seek his will. It's really easy, again, we talked about getting in just your routine, and you can so easily just get lulled kind of to sleep by just the patterns and rhythms of our daily life and just like a slow drift away from eternal living. It's really easy to get there, and then you wake up one day and realize, man, how am I over here when I was over here? Talks about it. It's good to set predetermined checkpoints to reevaluate your time and calibrate our thoughts and our schedules. Again, won't read through everything here, but of just regularly taking time to sit down and evaluate your time and how you're using it and your priorities in your life. So whatever form and then whatever cadence or whatever moments that you do that, it's important that you do. You know, James' message is clear, those verses that we read. We shouldn't just drift through life. We need to think. We need to steward about it by seeking His will. We live in a driven society. It is true. Whatever, this is interesting here, whatever time we don't plan will be filled. As one author suggested, unplanned time or unwise priorities cause us to live under the tyranny of the urgent. We live busy but empty days, and we end each of them wondering how we could have been so occupied, accomplishing so little. The only escape from the tyranny of the urgent is to live with the urgency of the important. Rather than allowing the loudest voice or the most pressing issue to consume our attention, we need to choose, again, it's a choice, to focus our time on the urgent matter of fulfilling God's will, basically. What God has called you to do can only be done by you, and it can only be done in one lifetime. Numbered days demand focused lives. The urgency of the important reminds us to recognize the fleeting nature of our time against the greater weight of eternity. It calls us to invest our time in that which counts forever. It compels us to reach lost souls, love our families, shape our schedules according to God's will. So don't miss today's opportunities to invest your time in the bank of eternity. You don't want to live your life, but waste your purpose. Steward your time with wisdom that directs your moments into accomplishing God's will for your life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the lesson this morning. Again, just the message and the principles that are given here from your word, the idea of walking circumspectly, redeeming the time because the days are evil, and not being unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And again, this is all something that every single one of us can be so much better at. Again, living with eternity in view, of realizing our time is just so limited, we have to use it wisely to be pleasing to you. And again, that often can look different for various people, because you've called us for different things sometimes. And I do pray that you would just be with us, help us to focus then on your word, on the priorities that you've laid out in your word for us. And again, we thank you that you just be with us for the rest of the day, and then with the baptism to come, Pastor.
Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm sure the Lord spoke to you in some way. Our nature is to get lost in our time and how we're spending it. We squander it. Sometimes we spend it in ways we shouldn't spend it, and sometimes we just get worn out spending it. But we need to realize that all things come from God. We are to lift Him up in our lives, and He gives us everything so we can steward that time. This weekend's Labor Day weekend. It's a good Labor Day message thought. What are we laboring for? This world is about things. We have our bucket list of all the things we want to do. It really doesn't matter. Those aren't going to last. What matters is what we do for Christ. That is what will last. And then once we get that figured out, and that you may need to take some time, folks, to figure that out. Just what is it that I really need to be doing? First of all, it talked about salvation. You need to be saved. Nothing matters beyond of what you've done if you're not saved. But then if you're saved, what are you spending your time doing? You're going to go through judgment. Even as a Christian, you're going to be judged on the things that you've done. It's a great fire that you'll pass through. All those meaningless things will be burned up, and the only things that won't be burned are the things you've done truly for God. So may you think and readjust your lives this morning. Verse here. Amen. Thank you for your time. Again, reminder. Make it pretty quick, and we can fellowship a little over at the house, but we're going to get straight to just a brief message about baptism and some thoughts there that I want to share with you, and then we'll have the baptism, and then we'll have lunch together, so let's be dismissed. Father, we thank you for this time we have. That's the message, this time we have today. We are going to spend it one way or the other on one thing or another. May we use it wisely, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.